Now, I'm going to say something before I start today, and it might in some way frame what we're going to say. And I was thinking this week, well, a few things my body's been telling me. You know, I'm not going to be here forever. And if the Lord didn't come, I want you to discern that somebody that speaks up here should primarily be focusing on how to live the Christian life. When I teach Revelation, I try to teach that that's how you can look at the future and live it today. When we teach the book of Genesis, we've tried to teach you that knowing where you came from and how you got here has something to do with your behavior here. If you, when I'm gone, should that happen before the rapture, you need to focus and discern. And we're going to be talking about discernment today. Spiritual discernment. Someone who, they don't get so, now the technical is important, don't get me wrong there, I love technical, but the you don't let the cart drive the horse. The whole object of us meeting together is to grow in our spiritual life. And when we look at Scripture, the reason we study Scripture and the reason we look at specifics is we want to learn how that can apply to living a Christ-like life now. And so that's my little prelude to this. What we're going to talk about today is that we try, no matter what we present, we try to in some way show the relevance to the Christian life. And I want you to gain that discernment because we will not always be here. There are a few signs in the old body that tell me I might be getting out of here someday, and the sooner the better. So I'm just telling you, get that straight. We're going to look into the Word of God today. We're going to continue. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians, we'll start there, and then we'll look to the Father. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, we've been on this verse for several Sundays, verse 15. We're going to talk again about the spiritual Christian. Remember, the term spiritual means emanating things of a spirit. We showed you from the second chapter that we emanate things from the Holy Spirit through our human spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit does not control our actions, our activity. He doesn't control our body. He does give us alternate thoughts in our mind. So when we emanate things of the Spirit, we're called spiritual, and that works in this process. And that means that the Holy Spirit gives us a righteous thought. We act upon that righteous thought in the realm of our rationale or our human spirit, and we put it into activity. It is that activity that is spiritual. If I'm just sitting in a corner and humming Spawny River in the lotus position, I'm not emanating things of the Holy Spirit. It's talking about activity. So the emphasis of Scripture is knowledge about Scripture in terms of the head, but it has to be put into practice. That's a different word. We'll be looking at that today. Let's read the verse and then we'll look to the Father. But to the one that is spiritual, emanating things of the Spirit, discerns the true value, examines the true value of all the previously mentioned things. Going back to verse 9, the things that we have as a result of our new birth. And yet he himself is discerned by no one. This is the verse I come to all the time. I say, I can tell if you're carnal, because I have a verse that says, don't do that, don't do this, and you're doing it. You're carnal. But I cannot tell if you're spiritual. You can't tell if that's what this verse says. You don't know if a person did that activity out of the righteousness out from the Holy Spirit, or they did it to make themselves look good. You don't know. But God knows. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. It is Christ himself that discerns the hidden determinations of the heart. He knows. Now, having said that, we pray out loud, we communicate to the Father out loud, we communicate according to 1 Corinthians about the 10th chapter in orally in a group because it puts us all on the, quote, same page. And as a leader, it is my job to kind of demonstrate the kind of communication that goes to the Father. And if you'll listen to me very closely, almost all of my communication to the Father is thanksgiving and praise and worship. Very little, thank God, give me this. Very little of that. Very little. In fact, that should be the minor part of your communication to the Father. So shall we bow and collectively pray? Our Father, we do appreciate, thank you, and with unending thanks for the fact that you have given us such a rich salvation. Not only does the Holy Spirit indwell us, but your Son and you yourself indwell us. And we thank you for this new birth. And the new birth brings on responsibility as one of your children, one of your spiritual children. You want us to act like we belong in your family. And we'd ask as we pursue that in Scripture today that we see those milestones, we see those guidelines that let us know if we're on the right race course, running a race that's pleasing to you, your Son, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're looking then at this concept of emanating things of the Holy Spirit called spiritual. Now, one verse in review, if you'll turn over to Romans, the 8th chapter and the 16th verse, I made this statement earlier. The Holy Spirit teaches us, we see that in 1 Corinthians 2, about verse 13, 14, verse 11 or 12, that the Holy Spirit teaches us. We also see that over in 1 John 2, chapter 2, verses 20 and 27. The Holy Spirit teaches us. Now be careful. The Holy Spirit teaches us in the realm of our rational thinking. The Holy Spirit does not teach us in the realm of emotion. Let's read the verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit Himself, not itself, the Spirit Himself co-witnesses together with our human spirit, rational, that we are the born ones of God. The reason I intellectually know that I'm a born one of God is because the Holy Spirit has taught me that from Scripture. I couldn't have gotten it any other way. He taught me that in the realm of my rational thinking, not in the realm of my emotion. I have run into many Pentecostals. The reason for that is a lot of them have the plan of salvation. Listen, if you believe the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, you are such a minority in Christendom, even though you got a bunch of rotten doctrine, I'm closer to you than the unsaved. So I run into a lot of Pentecostals who say, Rich, and in fact, I know I can think of a name right now. I'm not going to give it to you. I say, Rich, I know you're showing me from Scripture that these gifts are extinct, but I felt it. You've done that. But I felt it. I've experienced tongues. But it says language there. It doesn't say blah, 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 blah. But I've experienced it. You never put your emotion or experience above Scripture or above the rational teaching of the Holy Spirit. If you learn something in the realm of your emotion, or if you make a decision in the realm of your emotion, you're wrong. That's the verse. That's one of the many verses. We saw that also over in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. So I'm doing all this to set the stage, or set the thinking, for how we can be led by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you'll turn to Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 18th verse, we have a verse that's sitting here in a very, very important context. In this context, the people of Galatia were trying to please God by making up their own rules. And some of the rules were the Old Testament, but they actually were adding to them. And they thought that they could please God and be righteous by doing that. And Paul and the Holy Spirit say, basically, that's a bunch of nonsense, that you can't do it on your own. And then that brings us down to verse 18. It's very interesting that verse 19, he's going to tell you all the prohibitions, all the bad stuff. But watch verse 8. Okay, now get this picture. Here's a list of all the stuff that you don't want to have, starting with verse 19. But in verse 18, he's going to say, here's how you have no list, no restrictions. Read with me verse 18. But if you should happen to be led by the Holy Spirit, you are not under a quality of rule. Now, I've taught this before and people get all upset. You mean to tell me, and you also have it down in verse 23, that if you are reflecting the emotional guardance or the emotional constraint of the fruit from the Spirit, there are no rules. Well, Richard, there's no negative rules, because all the thoughts the Holy Spirit will give you are all positive. That's spiritual, emanating things of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't going to tell you, don't rob the bank. The Holy Spirit is going to tell you, do this. It'll facilitate the spiritual growth of your brethren. It's all positive. And if we're led by this word lead means to lead out. Gives direction. If we're led by the Holy Spirit, there's no quality of rules. This is one of the multiple verses I come to all the time. I say every negative thing that's in the Old Testament is set up for carnal Christians. And if you are doing one of those negative things, you're carnal. Or if you're thinking about doing one of those negative things, you're starting to be unrighteous in your thought. They're all red flags. But we're trying to spend our time on the positive. How can we emanate things of the Holy Spirit? And remember that He leads in the realm of our rational, our thought. The Holy Spirit doesn't control my fingers. The Holy Spirit doesn't control my thoughts. The Holy Spirit gives me contrary thoughts so that I control my... You want the verse for that? It's right there in the context, verse 17. For this flesh lusts or against or in opposition to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lusts in opposition to the flesh. The flesh doesn't go away. The Holy Spirit gives me contrary or better thoughts, and it's my job to act upon them. Now, if I'm rightly related to the Father, those thoughts that are coming from the Holy Spirit will be in neon lights, and the ones that are come from the flesh will be in fine print. A little mind picture there for you. But I still have to make the pick. I still have to do that. Now, I'm going to give you a couple examples today. If you'll turn to Philippians, the first chapter. By the way, as you're turning there, we intend to end. We don't always go as planned. Shortly before 12 o'clock, so we can have a slight dismissal and then have a very, very brief business meeting. And, okay, first chapter of the book of Philippians, verse 8. For God is my witness how that I greatly long after you all in the emotions or the affections, would be better translation of Jesus Christ. Rich, you said don't ever make decisions in the realm of as the primary factor. Emotions can't be the primary factor. But if you read correctly the fruit from the Spirit, you are to have emotions as a Christian. They just have to be under control. And who can control my emotions? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Verse 9. And this I pray. This is the word prosukamai here. I think it has the idea of a general communication here. Because he's asking for something. I pray, I generally commute to the Father that your specific love may exceed. This word for abound has the idea of exceed the ordinary. Go beyond the ordinary. And more and more, and increase in the full experience of knowledge, and in all, this word for judgment has the idea of perception. There's about 20 words that have the translated judgment in the New Testament. I could be wrong, but there seems to be a bunch of them. This one has to do with perception. What he's saying is that if you're spiritual, and we'll get to the specifics of that, that you have to perceive things so that you can gain knowledge. This word knowledge has the idea of putting into practice. This is the word for full experience knowledge, putting into practice. Now, what is it in this verse that you put into practice in verse 9? Love. if I put the new commandment into practice, that you love one another. Now, love doesn't mean gushy-gushy, as you that are acquainted with me know. I'm not a hugger. It means watching for the spiritual welfare of the one loved. Well, that doesn't include my wife. I know down south everybody's hugging everybody. I never could get to that. That's the one part of me that's not southern. Especially on a hot day when people are sweating. But this kind of love is not talking about that. This kind of love is talking about wanting and desiring the spiritual welfare of the one loved. And he's saying here, and the Holy Spirit, as he bears Paul along, is saying that we have to have a perception to do it. Verse 10, that you may approve. This word approve is the same one that we saw over in 1 Corinthians 3. It has the idea of fire assay. It doesn't mean you look at everything to down, diss it or put it down. It means you look at these things that are having to do, and I get to the exact another verse that correlates with this. You look at things to discern, or to perceive, last part of verse 10, and verse 10 also, that you go beyond the ordinary in your love, and you look for ways to do that, and you fire assay it. You look for what's approvable in that. And this word for excellent is of more value, that of more value. That you may be spotless and blameless till the day of Christ. This is saying up until the rapture. The day of Christ is talking about the rapture, part of the rapture. Up until the rapture, it is my job to discern how I can better facilitate the spiritual growth of other Christians that I come in contact with, and that I need to go beyond the ordinary for that. That would be divine enabling, that I can't do it on my own. Verse 11, we're not going to get into today, but it is a reference to the divine enabling of the Holy Spirit and spiritual filling. So, what we're saying is it takes mental discernment according to, now keep your finger, or no, don't keep your finger here, we're not coming back here, but let's go back to 1 Corinthians 2. How do I get the mental discernment? From the Holy Spirit. Let me show you the verse. We did it several times before. Verse 13, second chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. Which things we speak, are speaking, and talking about the riches of salvation here, not in words which man wisdom teaches. The last thing you can do is to go to a philosophy book or any kind of philosophical thinking from natural men or unsaved men. It's absolutely contrary to Scripture. It might be a good counterfeit, but it's never Scripture. Not what man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Now watch this. Comparing spiritually things taught with spiritual matters. How do I go into a situation that's not covered by Scripture? We're coming back to Spirit-led. Spirit leads Christians in areas that the Bible does not teach. The Bible doesn't say what I should do in this circumstance specifically. The Holy Spirit gives you the divine enabling from the way you've been taught, and if you understand Scripture, to apply the methodology, to apply the criteria in Scripture to any specific situation. That's what the verse says. What the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritually things taught, I'm giving the extended translation of what the context demands, what spiritually has been taught with spiritual matters. It's absolutely worthless if it stays in the head. It has to be applied to our everyday life. That's the spiritual Christian. That's the Christian that's going to grow in love more and more. That's the Christian that's going to grow beyond the ordinary, as Philippians said. If you turn over to Hebrews, the last part of chapter 5, we have another statement of what the spiritual Christian to do. Unfortunately, because Paul and the Holy Spirit are dealing with humans. Most of what we know about what we are supposed to do is in foil or in contrast to what most Christians do, and that is carnality. Chapter 5, Hebrews, verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is inexperienced in the word of righteousness. If you, I don't say this from an elitist point of view. I say this analytically. You look at it and see if it's true. Most of Christendom, in fact, I can think of somebody out of the Houston area who's got thousands coming, who will have a 20-minute message every Sunday. And if you listen to that 20, Joel Holstein, if you really want to know, that 20-minute message is as smooth. He doesn't, like I do, he doesn't make a mistake. He doesn't give a wrong citation because he doesn't cite Scripture at all. But he gives the smoothest 20-minute presentation that makes you feel good about yourself. That's the last thing I want to do. I want you to feel so bad about yourself that you rely on the Holy Spirit. Those people, if they are saved, and I'm being very gracious here, are drinking milk, according to this verse. They're inexperienced, if they're saved. That is a capital, is there such a thing as a capital question mark? That would be it. Let's put it this way, if your sentence is in an 11 font, the question mark there is in 14 font, if they are saved. For everyone that uses milk is inexperienced in the word or the concept considering acting right in God's eyes. Well, what's the reverse of that? You better know what Scripture teaches so that you can act right. Let's read the rest of the verse. For he is a babe. This is not a compliment. I know in a marital situation, hey babe, that's different. That you say that differently. This is a scorn. This is the same word that's used over in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. Let's do that. Let's go to first. This is not good. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, and we want to look at the first verse. I'll do it. Brethren, I cannot speak to you as spiritual. Well, that means that the next couple verses aren't to the Christian we're talking about. They're the exact opposite. These people that he's talking to, at least in the verses we're going to read today, are not emanating things of the Holy Spirit. I can't talk to you like you're emanating things of the Holy Spirit. But unto one who is emanating things of the flesh. That's what carnal means. Even as to babes. This word babe is infant. Right there. Beautiful babe. But you don't want that babe. If 10 years from now she's sitting there nursing that babe with a bottle, it ain't good. He'll be going to school in a short bus. That's the Christians. Over in Hebrews, the 5th chapter and the 13th verse. They're drinking milk. Now, I know there is one over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, that talks about milk. But there it's a simile. It's just saying, you know how every time you put that bottle up to that baby, you know how that baby, that's the way. Well, let's do that. Let's do that. First Peter 2. I've never seen, very rarely will a baby not take the bottle. Even when they're full, they'll take it for a minute and then they'll spit it out. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes long for and have a craving, I translate this crave, the pure milk, and they have of the word in the King James, Weiss translates it spiritual. Green translated reasoning and logic. It's a little different take on the word logos here. What it's saying is not that you're to drink milk as a Christian all the time, but the way a baby really wants that milk, that's the way you really want Scripture. Back over to Hebrews, the fifth chapter. I hope you don't find yourself in verse 13. Now, by contrast, that tells us what verse 14 means. But strong food, the word meat shouldn't be there. Now, here's the picture. The baby here, lovely, nice head of hair, by the way, for the age, is drinking milk. 5 years from now, if that's all that baby has, there's something wrong. At 5 years, they better have gone past Gerber's and all that oatmeal junk and got onto some really solid stuff. That's the way the Christian life is pictured. Most Christians are drinking milk. Hence, small numbers. You know what made me realize that I better get you guys ready for somebody else? I see all these babies coming. I know I got to get out of here because there's a turnover going on here. Verse 14. But strong food belongs to them that are maturing. Now, we did this in Sunday school. I don't have time to do it today, this morning. But maturity is never fully realized in this life. It's a quest. It's a development. We are to grow just like a child is to grow. And if we have a kid that's ready for high school and they're still drinking milk, I drink a couple of gallons a week. But if that's all they drink, something's wrong. Short bus time. But strong food belongs to those that are maturing. Whenever we did this in Sunday school, I think we'll do it again now. Whenever you see the word perfect in the New Testament referring to humans or anything created, it doesn't mean perfect like God. Only God is perfect. And all of creation, even when he created it, was as perfect as creation could be. But it's imperfect in the sense it's not like him. One of the major themes of the Old Testament, I've got at least 30-some verses that outright say it, there is none like him. So when we talk about, see the word perfect in the King James or full age, it means maturing, it's a process. On your own, read Philippians 3, verses 12 and 15, and you'll see that. But strong food belongs to them that are maturing. Even those, now here you have a complexity of language I'm going to change for you. Because of continual use or habitual use, they have their ability to sense exercised. This word exercise comes from the same word we have gymnasium from. What it's saying is that it's a process where you continually apply what you understand Scripture to say and what Scripture says, and you apply it to situations over and over and over again. It's called full experience of knowledge back in Philippians, but here it's saying by continually use have their senses. Now, the reason the word senses is here, it talks about shades of meaning. It's because it's in the area of the soul, of the senses, that the sin nature attacks. And as we grow in our maturity, we can gain more and more ability to spot what I call the red flags that are coming up. Oh, and get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of my mind. For the fool, because of the continual use, they have the shades of meaning discerned by their, or understood by their senses, by exercise, and they distinguish. Now, this is the crucial part. This is what a spiritual Christian does. Now, watch, it doesn't say, like in the King James, it doesn't say what most people think it says, that it discern between righteousness and sin. It doesn't say that. It says discern between that which is fitting in character and that which is not fitting in character. It's not talking about sin. What did it say over in Philippians, the first chapter? What is beyond the ordinary? What is not just a good thing to do, but the best thing to do in the situation? As a spiritual Christian, if you're rightly related to the Father and thus rightly relay the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has been teaching you from Scripture, you'll be able to look at situations and you'll be able to see two things that are plausible. I mean, it could be 100, but we'll just take two. Two things that are plausible activities, neither one of which are unrighteous. But this one is greater in character. And I sense by the shades of meaning that that's the one the Holy Spirit is leading me to do. Now I'm going to say some things I missed earlier, but the Holy Spirit never, and I think I put it, can we go back? Because I really like the way I did this. Do you think I'm trying to emphasize this? Never, ever lead somebody contrary to Scripture. I have had young people come to me, fortunately not of this group, so you don't know who I'm talking about. No offense to the ladies, a young girl, I'm going to marry him and I can convert him. Be not unequally yoked. The Holy Spirit didn't lead her to marry that unsaved guy so she could marry, so she could claim the promise and Peter to get him saved. The Holy Spirit never, ever, and if you want to get multicultural, no way, Jose, does the Holy Spirit ever lead against Scripture. That's why you have to know Scripture. Never, ever. Now, here's another thing that I want to stress in closing. The Holy Spirit never, ever, no way, Jose, leads in the pure emotion. That's why one of the jokes that I secretly have, or inside jokes, or what do you want to call it, inside the game jokes that I have when I call it the praise team. You do not get led by the Holy Spirit in the realm of emotion. After you make the rational decision, the Holy Spirit will govern your emotions, and the list of how he governs them are in Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 22nd and 23rd verse. He'll give you peace. By the way, most people, I tell people this all the time, if you come to a decision in your life and, well, this one's hard and that one's not, I guarantee you almost all the time the hard one you don't want to do is the one the Holy Spirit wants you to do. And then after you pick the hard one, the Holy Spirit will give you peace. If that's the one. If it's in concert with Scripture. Now, if you don't get anything else to get this today, the spiritual Christian is never led contrary to Scripture. Two, the spiritual Christian is never led via emotions. So if you come to me, now don't, I know our language gets sloppy, but if you come to me, Rich, I feel like the first thing I'll know is that you're not being led by the Holy Spirit. Don't even put those terms in spirituality. I feel. It's not spiritual. It's not emanating. That's emanating things of the soul. I think this is the decision that the Holy Spirit wants me to do. Not I feel. I know sometimes we slip because I was watching something the other day and the sports guy, and I feel, yeah, he just doesn't understand. But I'm telling you, and I'm telling me, because I mix that term up a lot too. Don't feel, not in the spiritual matters. After you appropriate it intellectually, then you can have emotion and peace and joy with that. That comes after. But don't make a decision out of feeling. That's not spiritual. So what we tried to show you today, and we didn't get to 1 Corinthians 2:10 again, that the Holy Spirit, as we are maturing, teaches us the deep things of God. He doesn't keep giving us milk. If you want me to come up here and give you John 3:16 every Sunday, I'm not going to do it. If you want me to come up here and give you pablum every day, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to give you solid food. And it's the use of that in a constant way that gives the spiritual Christian the ability not to tell wrong and right, because there's no rules, because it's all positive in the realm of spiritual thoughts. But it gives you the ability to discern what is lacking in character and what is appropriate character, the one that is beyond the ordinary, Philippians, the first chapter. That's supernatural. That ability to discern what is the best way to handle a situation, knowing the outcome is the facilitation of the whoever you're loving, spiritual growth. By the way, just as an aside, I tried to figure out how to put a big period here, like this big. Never leads contrary to Scripture. And I wanted to put a period that was so big you couldn't miss it. Period. Get those two things. Never leads through emotion. The emotions will be governed. That's the fruit from the Spirit. Never leads contrary to Scripture. We've just destroyed half of the sermons today. All right, we're going to close in prayer, and then we'll have a short recess. And we've offended one family, and they'll be leaving. And then we'll have a business meeting. Our Father, we do thank you for your word. We do thank you that it's constant, that there's no subjectivity in terms of what you're saying. There's only one interpretation. There's no private individual interpretations. There's only one Spirit, one teacher, and we thank you for that unanimity in doctrine. Amen.